My name is Stan Cox, and I am the charitable curmudgeon. A number of years ago, I had a podcast that I had with a friend. I've done a lot of podcasts over the years. Most of them are religious in nature. I'm a preacher and try to share the gospel with whoever I can. But I had something a little bit different. He and I got onto Skype, and we recorded our conversation talking about some current events, politics, as well as some Bible study. But the most enjoyable part of that, at least for me, was that I had a weekly opportunity to prepare and deliver my rant of the week. And I talked about pet peeves, things that bother me about our society, something that was perhaps happening at that period of time. And that was an enjoyable thing for me. So I thought that I might try to do something like that again. I'm enough of an old man and certainly outside of the mainstream to where I can pull off the term curmudgeon. I can use that as a label for myself. My kids certainly think of me as being an old man. Now, I'm only 56, almost 57 years old. So some of you who are listening to this say, hey, you're just a young whippersnapper. So I guess it's a matter of perspective. But at the very least, the idea of being outside of the mainstream, of having enough going on in society that just is so antithetical to the way you think that you're irritated by it. Well, that certainly describes me, and I'm sure describes some of my listeners as well. Now, I do want to add the word charitable to that. I'm the charitable curmudgeon because I'm not mad at anyone, and I'm not going to be abusive by any means in this particular podcast. I have that Christian background that informs everything that I do and everything that I say, so we're not going to be hateful in this podcast, but I do want to talk from time to time about things that irritate me and maybe would be irritable to you. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I might would title this particular podcast Style Over Substance. That's something that irritates me in our society, that so many people are more interested in, they place more emphasis upon style than they do substance. Let me give you an example. There's a new darling of the Democrat Party, the young socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's a congresswoman from New York. She is a very interesting individual. She's a young, attractive lady, and she is right now one of the trendsetters in our nation. There was an article that I read just recently. It was titled, How Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Beats Everyone at Twitter. And for those who are as much or more a curmudgeon as I, Twitter is a social media type of program that's bad, isn't it? I can't even think of what you call it. Platform. Okay, social media platform, Twitter. And young people are, of course, very involved with that. And perhaps some of you perhaps even have a Twitter account. I do. But the reasons that were given as to why she is most effective at using Twitter, two of the reasons were just absolutely absurd. One is that she's fluent in emoji. The fact that she knows how to use emoji makes her beat everyone at Twitter. And the second was that she can dance and make a political point at the same time. Now, that reminded me, and this will be dating myself a little bit, but when Clinton, I'm not talking about Hillary, I'm talking about Bill Clinton, way back when on the Arsenio Hall show, you remember that talk show? He played his saxophone, and everyone thought that Bill Clinton was such an amazing individual because he was a politician that was just, he understood how it was. He was one of those common people. He was cool. And a few years later, of course, Obama, he went on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he was dancing, and he was showing himself to be cool. And for a lot of people, it doesn't matter what your positions are, what your policies are, what your politics are. You know, if you're cool, if you're handsome, if you're pretty, if you've got style, well, that's going to make me want to vote for you. And that's just kind of an absurd thing. One other thing about Ocasio-Cortez is this Green New Deal that she's come up with. And it consists of a number of crazy and impossible. I mean, not just impractical, especially in the timeline of the next decade, but just absolutely impossible proposals in order to make and basically remake our society with regard to the environmental concerns and impacts. And as crazy as this New Deal is, this Green New Deal of getting rid of combustion engines and basically retrofitting every building in America and getting rid of cows because of their flatulence and the methane, it's just absolutely absurd things. But many Democrats actually signed on to this New Deal. And although it's not a binding resolution, they're in favor of it. They've either said, yes, I support it, or are willing to vote for it. And the interesting thing about this is these Democrats who have done this, many of them are aware of just how impossible and crazy this thing is. But in order to be on her good side, and more importantly, in order to be able to depend upon the support of her and her followers, they have signed on, and maybe to have it the best of both worlds, they call it an aspirational document. The word aspirational means to aspire to. So this is something that they know is impossible, and yet we can aspire to it perhaps sometime in the future. And that's style over substance. It's not pragmatic in any way. But you know, that's what some people think is the way it ought to be. So we're going to aspire to it. Well, I have my own Green New Deal, and I want to talk to you about that for just a moment. I want to have it not in the next 10 years, but in the next 5 years. After all, if we're going to be aspirational, we might as well aspire to greatness. So the first tenet of my Green New Deal is cold fusion. Because cold fusion would allow for cheap and abundant energy. I mean, you wouldn't need to worry about solar. You wouldn't need to worry about wind. Because if you had cold fusion, you would have all of the cheap energy you need. And you could combine that with the second tenet of my Green New Deal, and that is room temperature superconductivity. Man, that would make it to where we could have efficient batteries. It would basically go with those two things, cold fusion, room temperature superconductivity. We wouldn't have any problems with the world's energy anymore, and we could get rid of that horrible thing, the fossil fuels. Now, I've got a third thing, and this is going to blow your mind. We won't need any more cars. We won't need to build out the light rail system so that we can get rid of airplanes. I'm talking about teleportation. Just think about that, teleportation. All you'd have to do is have pods at one end and the other end, and you could teleport from one to another instantly. We could completely get rid of any need of any other kind of transportation because of teleportation. I've even got a tenet as to how to deal with that methane of those cows: genetic modification. If we modified genetically cows so that we could change the byproduct from methane to, let's say, harmless water vapor, then we wouldn't have to worry about global warming anymore. So we've fixed it, my Green New Deal. Now, I understand it's just aspirational, and by the way, it's only marginally more absurd than Ocasio-Cortez's New Green Deal. Of course, I'm not fluent in emoji, and so I doubt my plan will catch on. Well, until next time, the charitable curmudgeon is off the air.